Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, June 24th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or listening through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever discovered in my 47 years of doing therapy. These tools are gratefully available absolutely free on the Internet through the tireless efforts of Michael and Jeannie Rice. If you go to the website, whyagain.org, and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner of the page, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and relationships and turn any negative emotional state I have into part of that infallible guidance system that each of us has been gifted. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click it, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can download an app from your app store that contains that worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game. All you have to do is type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and you'll see the glowing heart icon. And that will let you get access to this powerful tool absolutely free. It's a private app, and it is a powerful way to carry this healing tool with you wherever you have your smartphone or your tablet. You can also download a whole host of audio files that have been curated out from the past 10 years of this show. Some of those files contain the audio of somebody calling in and saying, I've got this problem. I'd like some help working through this worksheet. Or can you help me understand how the worksheet process works or what's the dynamic underlying it? Some of those files are testimonials of how the effective application of these tools in people's lives is transforming their lives for the better. And we hope you do that soon and often because that tends to produce comments and questions and answers. And if you have those, give us a call at 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1, and it will put a little question mark by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. We're also working through the Course in Miracles lessons this year in the workbook of the Course in Miracles. Today is the 175th day of the year, and that lesson is part of a review. It starts with the reminder that creation is but love, and therefore so am I. And lesson 159's review is, I give the miracles I have received. Creation is but love, and therefore so am I. Lesson 160, I am at home fear is the stranger here. Creation is but love, and therefore so am I. And the Pam Grout book, A Course in Miracles Experiment, Lesson 175, is titled, I Am a Special Effects Animator, Quantum Style. Pam quotes Fyodor Dostoevsky as saying, man only likes to count his troubles, but he does not count his joys. Pam writes, the dude is but love, and therefore so am I. I give the miracles I have received. I am at home, and fear is the stranger here. Before entering the hospital room of a TB patient, visitors are required to cover their entire bodies. They even don surgical masks. None of us balk at this. I am going to pause while I restart my Kindle because it's most of that lesson is missing. All right. None of us balk at this overcautious behavior. Tuberculosis is contagious, for goodness sake, so we go to great lengths to avoid exposure. Yet, we never protect ourselves from the bad news we see on television, the horrible tweets that pop up on our phones. The news media presents a tiny speck of a reality far removed from true, capital R, reality. It's so limited in dimension and scope of understanding that paying close attention is like having one of those please kick me signs pinned to your back. The news media feeds us small bites of trivial matter, tidbits that don't really concern our lives and don't require thinking. Out of thousands of news stories and tweets I've read, not one, but I consumed it anyway, not one of them helped me make a better decision about a serious matter affecting my life. Quote, news, close quote, is just one corporation's opinion. It's mostly clickbait, completely irrelevant to my well-being. Truly creative minds, whether they're composers, mathematicians, scientists, authors, or musicians, could care less about what's trending on Twitter. My mission now is to pay more attention to the collective rhythm and wisdom emanating from the larger whole, what I often call the divine buzz. It might sound big and cosmic, but it's really the most natural thing in the world, and it's a gazillion times more resourceful and richer in content than anything I could ever hear on CNN. So, I give the miracles I have received. I am at home here, and fear is the stranger. God, life, creation is but love, and therefore so am I. So that's our Course in Miracles lesson for today, and we have 50 minutes to talk, to answer your questions, to discuss questions you have, to listen to your answers, to take suggestions about topics for the day or people I should interview for the Mind Shifters Radio or the On Your Mind podcast for Journey Stream. Call in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. Today is Thursday, so we'll have a support group tonight. And because of a series of events and discussions with group members, tonight we will probably be listening to the last hour of a podcast with Glennon Doyle. Her podcast is titled We Can Do Hard Things. And this particular podcast is their seventh in their series, fairly new podcast she's launched. And it's titled Fighting Well. And it's about conflict style and the whole idea of making a big difference in your relationships by learning how to bring conflict up in your relationship and discuss it to resolution. Because avoidance of conflict, as we talk about in the bottom line observations, is a way to smother or choke off the potential for intimacy in any relationship. And Glennon and her sister and Glennon's wife are in this podcast discussing the importance of being able to bring conflict, disagreements to the table in a relationship and discuss them respectfully in a way that leads to resolution, rather than either ignoring them, which chokes off the potential for resolution or intimacy in a relationship, or continuing to just bring the same arguments to the table and never get any resolution, any negotiated agreement for having everybody get their needs met in the process of actually being connected in relationship. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight in the support group. If you'd like to join us, it's absolutely free. It'll be from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central. Information about how to join us through Zoom on the internet is available at mindshiftersacademy.org. And I'll remind you that if you go there, there's a separate page for Tuesday and Thursday support groups. It's quite difficult to join us if you're on the wrong page and type in the wrong meeting ID for Zoom. And if you're not available during that time slot today or not interested, but you know somebody who might be, please pass the information along to them and help us get this knowledge about how to join us on the group out to the people that might benefit from it. It's free. It's from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central. And all the information needed to join is at mindshiftersacademy.org and Thursday support groups. Or Thursday online group is the title of that page. So how can we support you today? What's on your mind? What would be of use as a topic for us to discuss with the next 45 minutes that we have? 563-999-3581 and press 1. I have, we had mentioned yesterday, one of the segments from a book titled Tiny Beautiful Things, I think it's called. It's titled The Obliterated Place. And this is a series of advice column responses. So the advice column, Dear Sugar, has been running for years, and Cheryl Strayed is the person who responds. And she received this letter. Dear Sugar, it's taken me many weeks to compose this letter, and even still I can't do it right. The only way I can get it out is to make a list instead of write a letter. This is a hard subject, and a list helps me to contain it. You may change it to a regular letter if you wish, should you choose to publish it. That's point number one. Point number two, I don't have a definite question for you. I'm a sad, angry man whose son died. I want him back. That's all I ask for, and it's not a question. Point three, I will start over from the beginning. I'm a 58-year-old man. Nearly 4 years ago, a drunk driver killed my son. The man was so inebriated, he drove through a red light and hit my son at full speed. The dear boy that I loved more than life itself was dead before the paramedics even got to him. He was 22, my only child. I am a father while not being a father, point number four. Most days it feels like my grief is going to kill me, or maybe it already has. I'm a living, dead dad. Number five, your column has helped me go on. I have faith in my version of God, and I pray every day, and the way I feel when I'm in my deepest prayers, the way I feel when I read your words, which feel sacred to me. Point six, I see a psychologist regularly, and I'm not clinically depressed or on medication. Point seven, suicide has occurred to me. This is what initially prompted me to make an appointment with my psychologist. Given the circumstance, ending my life is a reasonable thought, but I can't do it because it would be a betrayal of my values and also of the values I instilled in my son. Point eight, I have good friends who are supportive of me. My brother and sister-in-law and two nieces are a loving and attentive family to me. And even my ex-wife and I have become close friends again since our son's death. We had been cold to one another since our divorce when our son was 15. Point nine. In addition, I have a rewarding job, good health, and a girlfriend whom I love and respect. Point ten. In short, I'm going on with things in a way that makes it appear like I'm adjusting to life without my son. But the fact is, I'm living in a private hell. Sometimes the pain is so great, I simply lie in my bed and wail. Point 11. I can't stop thinking about my son, about the things he would be doing now if he were alive, and also the things I did with him when he was young, my good memories of him, my wish to go back in time and either relive happy memories or alter those that are less happy. Point 12. One thing I would change is when, at 17, my son informed me he was gay. I didn't quite believe him or understand, so I inquired in a negative tone, "But how can you not like girls?" I quickly came to embrace him for who he was, but I regret my initial reaction to his homosexuality, and I never apologized to him for it. I believe he knew I loved him. I believe he knew I wanted him to be happy, no matter what path his happiness might take. But, dear sugar, for this and other things, I am tormented anyway. Point 13. I hate the man who killed my son. For his crime, he was incarcerated for 18 months and then released. He wrote me a letter of apology, but I ripped it into pieces and threw it in the garbage after barely scanning it. Point 14. My son's former boyfriend has stayed in touch with my ex-wife and me, and we care for him a great deal. Recently, he invited us to a party where he informed us we would meet his new boyfriend, his first serious boyfriend since our son. We both lied and said we had other engagements, but the real reason was we declined is that neither of us could bear meeting his new partner. Point 15. I fear you will choose not to answer my letter because you haven't lost a child. Point 16. I fear if you choose to answer my letter, people will make critical comments about you, saying you don't have the right to speak on this matter because you have not lost a child. Point 17. I pray you will never lose a child. Point 18. I will understand if you choose not to answer my letter. Most people, kind as they are, don't know what to say to me. So why should you? I certainly didn't know what to say to people such as me before my son died. So I don't blame others for their discomfort. Point 19. I'm writing to you because the way you've written about your grief over your mother dying so young has been meaningful to me. I'm convinced that if anyone can shed light into my dark hell, it will be you. Point 20. What can you say to me? Point 21. How do I go on? Point 22. How do I become human again? Signed, Living Dead Dad. Dear Sugar responds in bullet points in a list. Dear Living Dead Dad, number one, I don't know how you go on without your son. I only know that you do, and you have, and you will. Point number two, your shattering sorrow light of a letter is proof of that. Point number three, you don't need me to tell you how to be human again. You are there, in all of your humanity, shining unimpeachably before every person reading these words right now. Point number four, I'm sorry for your loss. I am so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry for your loss. Point number five, you could stitch together a quilt with all the times that has been and will be said to you. You could make a river of consolation words, but they won't bring your son back. They won't keep that man from getting into his car and careening through that red light at the precise moment your son was in his path. Point number six, you'll never get that. Point number seven, I hope you remember that when you peel back the rage and you peel back the idle thoughts of suicide and you peel back all the things you imagined your son would be but wasn't, and you peel back the man who got into the car and drove when he shouldn't have, and you peel back the man who the man your son loved now loves, and you peel back all the good times you had, and you peel back all the things you wish you had done differently, at the center of that, there is your pure father love that is stronger than anything. Point number eight, no one can touch that love or alter it or take it away from you. Your love for your son belongs only to you. It will live in you until the day you die. Point number nine, small things such as this have saved me. How much I love my mother, even after all these years. How powerfully I carry her within me. My grief is tremendous, but my love is bigger. So is yours. You are not grieving your son's death because his death was ugly and unfair. You're grieving it because you loved him truly. The beauty in that is greater than the bitterness of his death. Point number 10, allowing such small things into your consciousness will not keep you from your suffering, but it will help you survive the next day. Point number 11, I keep imagining you lying on your bed and wailing. I keep thinking that, as hard as it is to do, it's time for you to go silent and lift your head from the bed and listen to what's there in the wake of your wail. Point number 12, it's your life. the one you must make in the obliterated place that's now your world, where everything you used to be is simultaneously erased and omnipresent, where you are forevermore a living dead dad. Point number 13, your boy is dead, but he will continue to live within you. Your love and grief will be unending, but it will also shift in shape. There are things about your son's life and your own that you can't understand now. There are things you will understand in 1 year, and in 10 years, and in 20. Point number 14. The word obliterate comes from the Latin obliterare. OB means against. Literare means letter or script. A literal translation is being against the letters. It was impossible for you to write me a letter, so you made a list instead. It is impossible for you to go on as you were before, so you must go on as you have never been. Point number 15. It is wrong that this is required of you. It is wrong that your son died. It will always be wrong. Point number 16. The obliterated place is equal parts destruction and creation. The obliterated place is pitch black and bright light. It is water. That's what you're saying in your letter to me, living dead dad. You've made it so long without your sweet boy, and now you can't take it anymore. But you can. You must. Point 18. More will be revealed. Your son hasn't yet taught you everything he has to teach you. He taught you how to love like you've never loved before. He taught you how to suffer like you've never suffered before. Perhaps the next thing he has to teach you is acceptance. And perhaps the thing after that, forgiveness. Point number 19. Forgiveness bellows from the bottom of the canoe. There are stories you'll learn if you're strong enough to travel there. There are doubts and dangers and unfathomable travesties, and one of them might cure you. I am interrupting this to check in with Susan. Are you there?
Hi. Yep. Hi.
You texted me something that I cut out.
Yeah, you cut out. You said something about water, and then you came back in about 15 seconds. So there was just a little bit we missed in there, and maybe nobody else missed it, but I was right here listening. Hate to miss any of this. This is absolutely fabulous.
All right. So I thank you for that, and I will just why don't you press – you don't have to press 1 on your phone. I'll mute you, and I'll back up to point 17, and please let me know if it cuts out again. Point number 17, you have the power to withstand this sorrow. We all do, though we all claim not to. We say things like, I couldn't go on, instead of saying, I hope I won't have to. That's what you're saying in your letter to me, living dead dad. You've made it so long without your sweet boy, and now you can't take it anymore. But you can, and you must. Point 18, more will be revealed. Your son hasn't yet taught you everything he has to teach you. He taught you how to love like you've never loved before. He taught you how to suffer like you've never suffered before. Perhaps the next thing he has to teach you is acceptance. and perhaps the next thing after that, forgiveness. Point 19. Forgiveness bellows from the bottom of the canoe. There are doubts, dangers, unfathomable travesties. There are stories you'll learn if you're strong enough to travel there. One of them might cure you. Point number 20. When my son was 6, he said, "We don't know how many years we have for our lives. People die at all ages." He said it without anguish or remorse, without fear or desire. It has been healing to me to accept in a very simple way that my mother's life was 45 years long, that there was nothing beyond that. There was only my expectation that there would be. I expected to see my mother at 89, my mother at...
Went out again, Dr. Tim. Dr. Tim, if you're still on, we can't hear you. It went out when you said, "I expected to see my mother at 89 or something like that, and then it quit. I don't know if he can still hear us. I read this yesterday after he talked about it, and it was awesome. Jeannie, can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. Yeah, he's still showing up on the switchboard, but is that you, Dr. Tim, at 847 number? It's really weird because I didn't turn him on, but there was another number on the switchboard.
It's Mary.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hey. How did you get turned on?
I sent him a text, so I think he may have turned my mic on.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully he'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. I was just saying after he talked about this yesterday, I went out and read it, and I mean, I was just in tears. It was like awesome. Such
so
good advice.
I know. From the bottom of the well. Yeah.
So we're looking forward tonight to hearing that Glenn and Doyle thing, too. It's been some really good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, podcast tonight. He said it was really good.
Oh, good.
Group night, everybody. Come on.
Whoa. Did he have to hang up and call back in last time?
No.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, not no.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Not this time. But the other day.
Oh, there you are.
I'm here.
Yeah. It is. It's doing the same thing it did the other day, where it kicks me off, but it won't let me call back in because it hasn't disconnected my number. So,
well, that's weird because it shows you on there twice now. It cuts you off just as you were saying, "I expected to see my mother at," I think it was 89 or something like that, and then we didn't hear anything after that.
Right.
So to redo that point number 20, when my son was 6, he said, quote, "We don't know how many years we have for our lives. People die at all ages," end quote. He said it without anguish or remorse, without fear or desire. It has been healing to me to accept in a very simple way that my mother's life was 45 years long, that there was nothing beyond that. There was only my expectation that there would be. I expected my mother at 89, my mother at 63, my mother at 46. Yet these things don't exist. They never did. Point 21. Dear living dead dad, think, my son's life was 22 years long, and breathe in. think my son's life was 22 years long and breathe out. Point 23, there is no 23. Point 24, you go on by doing the best you can. You go on by being generous. You go on by being true. You go on by offering comfort to others who can't go on. You go on by allowing the unbearable days to pass and allowing the pleasure in other days. You go on by finding a channel for your love and another for your rage. Point 25. Letting go of expectation when it comes to one's children is close to impossible. The entire premise of our love for them has to do with creating, fostering, and nurturing people who will outlive us. To us, they are not so much who they are as who they will become. Point 26. The entire premise of your healing demands that you do let go of expectation. You must come to understand and accept that your son will always be only the man he actually was. The 22-year-old who made it as far as that red light. The one who loved you deeply. The one who long ago forgave you for asking why he didn't like girls. The one who would want you to welcome his boyfriend's new boyfriend into your life. The one who would want you to find joy and peace. The one who would want you to be the man he didn't get to be. Point 27. To be anything else dishonors him. Point 28. The kindest and most meaningful thing anyone ever says to me is, your mother would be proud of you. Finding a way in my grief to become the woman who my mother raised me to be is the most important way I have honored my mother. It has been the greatest salve to my sorrow. The strange and painful truth is that I'm a better person because I lost my mom young. When you say you experience my writing as sacred, what you are touching is the divine place within me that is my mother. Sugar is the temple I built in my obliterated place. I'd give it all back in a snap, but the fact is, my grief taught me things. It showed me shades and hues I couldn't have otherwise seen. It required me to suffer. It compelled me to reach. Point 29, your grief has taught you too, living dead dad. Your son was your greatest gift in his life, and he is your greatest gift in his death too. Receive it. Let your dead boy be your most profound revelation. Create something of him. Point 30. Make it beautiful. Yours, Sugar. So there's a sharing. And it is part of the list of letters and responses to Dear Sugar in the book Tiny Beautiful Things by Cheryl Strayed. And we have 19 minutes left or thereabouts for comments, questions, answers. When I read things like that, I usually like to give myself some silent time because I don't feel as though I can add much of value to writing that powerful. So I thank you for listening, and we are open for comments or questions.
Are all of our mics open, Dr. Tim?
Yes, you are open.
Okay. Well, it's hard to talk as well. That is so gorgeous. I would like to... I bet Jeannie's already put it in the note, knowing Jeannie, or at least access to where to get it. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I believe she found a space for it and put it in yesterday's notes since we were talking about it at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
I think she found that it had been posted on a blog by Cheryl, and so it's available as that blog post without having to buy the book, Tiny Beautiful Things.
Mm.
But it's also one of the many entries in that book. And Cheryl Strayed is a powerful writer who put out the book Wild is the title, which is
right.
A book about her trek and her loss of her mother when she was young. And soon after that, this book came out because she had been writing as the advice columnist, Dear Sugar, for years prior to that.
Diederik Walczak says that we experience all of the emotions we're going to experience by the time we're 8. This would lead me to think that that just isn't true. I've been thinking about that, and it doesn't matter what the truth of it is, but certainly this father had feelings that he'd never had before.
Well, one way to make that, since your mind tends to want to reconcile all of these things at a logical level, way to do that is to just say, come down on either side of it you want. It's easy if you just want to come down on it and say, yeah, that's not true because he never felt this before. If you want to hold that it is true, then you just say he's experiencing an intensity of the loss or the grief or the hurt or the confusion that's unlike anything he'd ever felt before.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same. Right, and most of us have seen toddlers wailing and screaming over not getting something they want or losing something that they wanted to keep as though someone was stripping the flesh off of them.
Right.
And so most of us, by the time we're 8 years old, have known grief and loss. And the thought might be, okay, this is just far more intense, deeper, of a longer duration, but that would be one way to make sense of it if you wanted to follow that logic that our first 6, 7, or 8 years, depending upon which experts you rely on, of our life, we we download all the emotions wherever we're going to have. And then beyond that, we just keep replaying those dynamics, as odd as it might seem. And as we were talking about yesterday, that's, there's a wisdom in that that's contained in Guy Finley's work, Bruce Lipton's work, Michael Rice's work. Michael has the three early memories of conflict for that very reason, as an exercise to uncover how I downloaded these beliefs about myself and about life and about my relationship with life and my safety and relationships. And I downloaded that when I was younger, and now every time a conflict comes up, I simply replay my life from those beliefs and those behaviors. So the absolute truth of it isn't as relevant to me as how useful it is to operationally define it. In other words, to look at how it actually works in my life, and then based on those observations, find new ways to approach my life to help me get better results.
Well, I did the mind shifter that we talked about yesterday, and having heard that Dear Sugar thing, I'm going to add some of the things I heard in there. They're very helpful to dealing with the stress of my present situation. I have a very much alive son struggling badly, but...
So would you like to refresh us as to the content of the mind shifter?
Sure. It morphed. I've never had this happen before, but it went from it is safe and healing for me to be at peace and joyful and hopeful and productive when my son feels like shit, is what I wrote, but, you know, doesn't feel well, isn't doing well. And I learned a lot from that one, but then realized that one isn't exactly right. So it became, it is safe and healing for me to see my son as capable of healing himself and finding his way. It showed me that I don't believe in his strength. This was really hard to see, but it's the way it was. And it had another arm to it, which was, I am a worthy person, even if my son doesn't need me or need fixing or helping by me. That's a lot of work got to be in there. I've only done one worksheet because the mind shifter went on so long. The worksheet I did was, I might lose my son altogether if I am happy while he is sad. So... But what I learned is that I don't have much faith in his capacity to find his own way without my help. Holy mackerel. I won't say anything about that, but I'm...
Well, that's a really good one to become aware of.
Yeah.
Right? That's hidden right. Pretty deep.
Yep. Or that my son is like a child and needs guidance and protection. I am wise and can provide this. Talk about arrogance. Wow, just incredible. Or I am failing to see him as capable and healthy without my help. All of these, even not doing the worksheets, it's been extremely helpful just to have those insights. And it really, I do believe that if I see him as capable, he will become capable if he hasn't been before. And sure enough, today he... suffering. He's in a lot of pain. I know we don't suffer according to the Course in Miracles, but he is experiencing whatever he's doing, and his face looks just pinched, and he's in pain, but I do feel more detached, and he is taking steps, practical steps, to move ahead rather than just go back into medicine, which he has done 3 or 4 times now. Go back in and do the route again. Go around the cycle. Drive himself to collapse and then leave. And he's doing some things differently this time. And I loved it when Cheryl Strayed Sugar said, the best thing my mother could have said to me is, I'm proud of you, because I have been saying that to him, and I can really say it. Just back off from advice, but just say, I'm proud of you. You're doing it. This is not easy, and you're doing it. So this is very much a work in progress, but, and I've got this habit now. I told you I'm using your patter sheet. I've actually printed them out so I can write on them, and I'm writing stuff that comes to mind all the way down that page, so it's a whole other page of thoughts and memories, incredible memories. It is so rich. So I don't really need to say any more about it, I don't think, or if anybody else is calling in, they should. But I'm practicing trusting that Jonathan can make his way, pretty much. And it's a relief.
I'll bet.
To know that.
I'll bet. It's a relief to see into some of the false beliefs. And it will continue to benefit you if you let yourself explore the origins of those false beliefs within yourself.
Mm-hmm. There are so many.
Well, you know how we talk about how it's all an inside job.
Yeah.
And in the bottom line observation, there is this one of them that says, I'll never be upset about anything anybody else ever says or does or doesn't do that I think they should. Unless I'm still judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing.
Right.
Notice what happens if you apply that to this pattern with your son. You will begin to explore what part of you feels incompetent and incapable and as though you need to be rescued or saved.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's big too.
And the more you dismantle that and step into the awareness of your strength and your competence, the less you're going to see others as weak and needing to be rescued. Because people show up in your mind dressed in your problems.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard Michael say that dozens of times. So whenever I go out to rescue somebody else, it's because a part of me feels like it needs to be rescued. And I'm hiding from that, and I'm masquerading on the outside as the superhero or the healer or the rescuer.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that has so many tentacles to it.
And it's so powerfully beneficial to see it because it does have all of those tentacles to it, and it is the kind of thing that will drive your perception, and it is the kind of thing that will craft the flavor as well as the pattern of interaction in your relationships. It has to.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to see him as whole and complete and competent and capable, to truly see that, you have to step into your own competence. You have to uncover those places in you that feel that you aren't good enough and you aren't strong enough and you don't know which way is up and you don't know how to manage your emotions or live your life from the place of competence. And the more you do that, the better it is for everyone around you, especially those in your bloodline. So congratulations on your willingness to bring this issue up and your willingness to do the mind shifter and the worksheets on it, because that's what's going to bring you the resolution.
Mm. Yeah, there are so many edges to this. When I was pregnant with him, I've mentioned this before, I said what I thought was my most sincere prayer, as if sincerity in prayer brings God into the picture. But in any case, that night I had a dream that was like a three-day-long revelation. And I told him about that, and he has used that dream himself. And it occurred to me after doing this that I said to him, have you ever thought of praying with that dream in mind? I won't go into the details of it. He said, great idea. I'll do that. And he went to lie down to take a nap, and I went home, and I'd been walking my dog with him. And he called me later and said, I lay down, and I said, I can't handle this anymore. And he said this sense of peace came over me that was huge, and I slept for an hour and then could get up and felt as if I could face my life. So it's wonderful to do these worksheets and the mind shifter too, but the God element, however it shows up in your life, is so helpful too. And he's at the place, I've talked to him about doing worksheets, and I'm not talking to him about doing anything now. He said, all I can do is lie down and picture God's hand on me. I can't, I'm too anxious and confused and unable to focus to do anything. But I just lie down and picture God's hand on me, and there is some peace there. So he's going way, way into this himself, and I'm working on allowing and trusting that he can do this without mother running in. Holy crow.
That's big. That's big, and I support you in that any way I can, and please feel free to keep us posted. We are at the end of our hour, so I will. I have been unable to do much with the switchboard from my end, Jeannie. I hope you're still there with your mic on. So I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love. Everything else is false. Are you there, Jeannie?
I am. Thank you. And
right,
I'm glad you read that.
Go.
That was beautiful. Mm. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
All righty. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Thursday, June the 24th, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. And I went out to where I put the notes for the every day on the radio show, and my notes for yesterday are gone. So I'll try to find them. I hope I had saved them on my computer as well, and we'll get them back out there. But however, for the notes for today, I have also put in that link, and it's for The Rumpus, which is apparently a magazine or something. And this was Dear Sugar, The Rumpus Advice column, number 78, The Obliterated Place, and it was actually dated July the 1st, 2011, and it's so beautiful, so I'm really glad Dr. Tim read that. I wouldn't have been able to get through it. So anyway, we'll give Michael just a few moments to get dialed in, and we welcome you to the show, and hope that You're taking advantage of all of the changes and the new things that are popping up on the app and the website both, and just enjoy. Welcome, Michael. Hello, Michael. Dr. Tim was having issues, so I hope that this doesn't carry over to the second hour.
We're rocking here.
All right, good. Welcome.
Thank you, dear heart. Welcome, everybody. Honor, once again, that we get to play with these awesome first century Aramaic ideas. And move into understanding that 2,000 years ago, people who were just like us were looking for answers to life. And they had family problems, and they had wars, and they had rage, and they had fear, and they had sadness, and they had grief, and they had pain, and they had drama, and they had trauma. And they were looking for practical answers to those dilemmas. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're told that the practical advice that was given 2,000 years ago was religion, and that the application of the tools from the first century Aramaic teachings of the man named Yeshua were all about religion. And I'm going to offer an invitation to change your mind if you believe that and recognize that the man didn't teach theology. The man was not a theologian. He was a physicist. He was a physiologist. He was a geneticist. He understood psychology better than any human being on the planet today. That's why he was able to give people the key to their own unconscious minds and support them in cleaning up their unconscious minds. And he understood how to stand as a space of power and of light and of support for people. You know, if you think about the story of the woman who has this 12-year issue of blood, she's had a period going on for 12 years. This woman's in really serious trouble in her culture. You know, she's considered unclean. She can't even go in the kitchen to feed her family. Pretty serious. And Yeshua puts out such a powerful field that it was understood if she could just link into that field, if she could capture the vitality, the work of this man who held the space, that the work that she was in the process of doing would be completed. Now, the Greeks translated it as something to do with a piece of cloth. Yeah, well, she went over and touched the hem of his garment. I mean, that's so silly. So you think that somebody who's diseased heals because they touch a piece of cloth that someone's wearing? No. No. It's just silliness. But the Greeks had no clue what was being taught in Aramaic, and not having the experiences that were brought forward from Yeshua and by Yeshua and in Yeshua's life, not having the brain cells for those experiences, they could not write about them. But in essence, that idea of the hem of his garment is simply touching into his energy field, into that space of power and support. But in the end result, you'll notice that Yeshua doesn't take credit for anything that happened. He tells her what really happened. In essence, he says, lady, you were ready, you were doing your work, and all you needed was a little boost of energy. Now, the rest of this throng, nobody else got healing. But you were ready, and you touched into support, and things moved. Each and every one of you, when you do the work to make yourself ready, and there is sufficient support around you, or you develop sufficient vitality on your own, then those kinds of healing experiences are yours. One of the ideas of developing this community through Mind Shifters Radio is to develop a group of people who stand, what we might say, in the hem of his garment, who stand in the space of active love, holding the space for each other to be empowered, to do what it takes. You know, if you're at a level 5 vitality, you've got some level 6 issues, you're going to have to touch the hem of a garment. That is, you're going to have to touch into the energy of a field stronger than your own to boost you from that level 5 vitality to, let's say, a 7. And then when you hit that level 7, then the energy can break loose that needs to be healed. So we're here to support that happening and to bring forward a true teaching, a teaching that is true to the first century Aramaic definitions of words, and to make it available globally. And we're starting the show out each day with a reading from Why Is This Happening to Me Again? If you're following along with us, we're on the top of page 83, where the chapter on choosing teachers. We had just read the difference between the priesthood and the priestcraft. The priesthood uses spiritual teachings in order to support people being liberated from their pain and suffering. The false teachers, the priestcraft, use spiritual teachings to gather benefits for themselves. In essence, the difference between the two is, who are the benefits accruing to? If somebody's standing there holding your hand out, say, well, next week, just give enough and next week. Well, if you just give more, I've been abhorred, you know, sometimes in the evening, Jean's dad will watch some of the religious programming there, and I've just been abhorred at the bald face, literally threats. If you don't send us money, you're not going to get your blessing. Excuse me. We don't want your money. Well, actually, we can use all the support we can get, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to offer the tools and the support for healing and make that move around on a global scale. You know, the moment where the commitment was made to develop this work to this level and to spread it the way we have was actually 41 years ago now. My son was born, and as I had the privilege of getting to catch him as he was coming into the world, I stood there just marveling, looking at this awesome creature and experiencing this pure presence of love. And as I held him, I can remember the thought came to me. If somebody doesn't do something about what's happening on the earth, there isn't going to be a world for this child to grow up in. And I made a commitment. You know, I was doing this work, but I made a commitment on a new level. It's actually shortly after making that commitment that the Aramaic language showed up. Prior to that, I had no acquaintance with the Aramaic. And so our commitment is to make these tools available globally, whether you've got money or not, it's irrelevant. Yes, it costs money to do it all. You know, you'll notice we don't have any advertisers on this show. We pay to do the show. We don't get paid. And the objective is simply to make it available. If you're in a position, or if you're not in a position and you choose to say this is valuable enough to support, then go to our website, whyagain.org, and there's a button there to donate. Go for it. Or, as happened yesterday on the show, someone said, you know, I've been getting enough out of this that I'm going to start to listen to your radio shows, your early radio shows that don't have any notes on them, and I'm going to start to make notes. I'm going to make a commitment to do one of those a week. And, you know, it wouldn't take long for the work to expand exponentially if we had a few folks who said, I'm going to take this project on. I'm going to do that. I'm going to move this forward. I'm going to move that forward. I sometimes compare Jean and I to the person at the circus that spins the plate. You know, you get a plate spinning, and then once that one's going, you get a second one, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth. How many plates can you spin? Well, we're spinning all kinds of plates. And if you see a place where if you have some skills and you want to dedicate some of your time, and oftentimes people think of a tithe as just money, but it doesn't have to be money. It could be time. Could be your intelligence, your skills. Is there something you can do in service of this work to move it forward on a global scale? And if there is, and you're up to doing it, we'd be delighted to talk to you about it. So we're having this conversation with Richard in the book, and we've just explained the difference between the true spiritual teacher and the false. And now we're going to delineate that just a little bit more. The false teacher uses religion to acquire political, financial, and or behavioral control over people. The incentive for the weak or insecure to enter this type of religious order and join the ranks of the false teachers is evident. A disproportionate percentage of the assets, power, sexual favors, and money of the people they control and manage accrues to them. And Richard replies, sounds like pretty heavy condemnation, Michael. I thought this work was supposed to be a positive in thinking. I don't know if I want to hear about this, Richard said. I understand where you're coming from, Richard. If you were in prison and did not know it, wouldn't you need a way to understand something about the structure in order to find your way out of it? If from within your prison walls you said to me, Michael, I'm a positive thinker. Don't tell me I'm in prison or how I got here. Just show me out. Wouldn't it be foolish to lead you to the high fence? No, you'd be stuck there without a ladder. If you had allowed the space for me to tell you about the high fence beforehand, you could have gotten a ladder from the basement in advance. Knowing what you're dealing with can be practical help to us. Planning ahead and being prepared for what we'll encounter is sometimes more important than all the positive thinking the world has to offer. And this work is not about positive thinking. It's not about the disorder, pardon me, of premature positive thinking. If you start trying to positive think on top of a negative foundation without doing the work to shore the foundation up, you're in trouble. You know, if I have a building, one story, and the foundation is designed for one story, and I say, you know, I'm a positive thinker, I'm going to do a four-story building here. Well, first wind that comes along, that building's going to topple. Positive thinking on top of a negative foundation won't work. You want to build a building that's four stories tall? Then create a foundation for four stories of building. Don't pretend you can put an extra story or two on without paying the price, because you can't. And so what I hear Yeshua saying in that example we used, the one with the issue of blood, when he says to her, your faith made you whole. In essence, he was saying, lady, you had the foundation. You've been doing the work. And so with that little boost of energy I gave you, bingo, you were able to move through. But it wasn't me that did it. It was you that did it. The blind man, it was you. And so engaging in one's work, building the brain cells, doing the work is an inside job. Person who wants the benefits of the work is going to have to do the work. It's not going to do much good for somebody else to do the work for you. You know, you want to become the world champion weightlifter, and you say to Bill, I want you to go into the gym every day, and I want you to work out really hard, get really strong, so that I can go win the Olympics. Well, good luck. What's going to happen if Bill goes into the gym every day and works out till he gets really strong? Well, he's probably going to become the world Olympic champion, but you're not. Each person must do the heavy lifting of dealing with the generational chains and the unconscious dynamics in their lives that bind them to ancient principles, or pardon me, I should say ancient memories and behaviors. So we're looking to invite people into using the tools to access everything that needs to be accessed and do the work that it takes to strengthen oneself enough to throw off the hostility and fear-based thinking, to throw off the hostility and fear-based physiology, And in doing that, you build your own vitality to reach deeper and deeper levels of vitality, means you can reach higher and higher altitudes in the work that you do. So that's what we are here to support. And Miss Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
No, it is all quiet.
Everything's quiet. Well, then let's say hello out there if you're in listener land. And if you happen to be on one of those stations that we don't have access to in our control panel, then if you call the number 563-999-3581, you'll be listening to the show directly, live. And if you push 1, that raises a hand in the phone queue and we get to have a conversation. So what's on your mind? How long have you been listening to the show? What kind of openings have you had? What kind of meaning has it had for you? Where is it moving you? Are you listening on an ongoing basis? You know, if you know of anyone who's had trouble getting into the show and given up, please talk to them again and invite them to come back and play the game with us. But how can we support you? Is this whole body of work making sense to you? I hope it is. And, of course, if you're ready to advance to the next level, you know, we're here to answer questions 5 days a week. And or you can go to our website. I'm not sure exactly how many pages, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 pages of website. You can go to our YouTube channel. Again, I don't know how many videos are there, but dozens upon dozens upon dozens, all to help build the brain cells, all to strengthen and empower and to support people in moving through whatever limitations they carry. So if you're out there in listener land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? 563-999-3581. Ms. Jeannie, do you have anything on your mind, anything on your agenda for today you might want to share?
On my agenda is just chasing the little one around today. I am I'm complete with the apps. They are both live and on the iPhone and the Android, the updates. So if you have the older version, please be sure and do an update. A couple phones might have to uninstall and reinstall, but it should work fine and bring you right back up.
Just by doing an update.
And the website's new and it's different. That's ongoing, but the biggest part of that is complete. So I would like the next time that I have 3 or 4 days without the baby is to start writing. So that was on my
list
for this week, and it didn't happen.
Well, we hold the space. I definitely want to experience the impact that your writing is going to have in the lives of many, 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 many women as you share the principles from the perspective of your experience in entering into, you know, the healing process. When Jeannie and I first met, Jeannie knew nothing about this work. And actually our initial conversations were around this work and the development of the brain cells for the Aramaic healing process. And so I can remember our early conversations, and it was all about, well, wait a minute, didn't churchianity have all the answers? And then this was before we even physically met. And when we first met, I just happened to have a copy of the personal code evaluation with me and asked Jeannie if she'd like to take it. And she said, what's that? So I explained, it's a way to look at your mind and see what's going on. She said, sure. And then, Jeannie, what happened?
Well, my scores were horrible. So, but then
actually,
shortly, like we met between Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2003, and then I attended the first workshops in February of 2004 and started doing a support group right after that. So I had only been in the work December, January, and part of February, 2.5 months, and started a support group and ran it for a year until I went on the road with Michael. And then we got married in 2005, and the rest is history.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the way you have taken to the work and integrated the work and shared it with others, you know, watching you work at an intensive with women has been pretty powerful. Speaking of which, you know, are you thinking maybe this fall you might do a Women Healing Women intensive online? I think that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. I'll have to have a little more time than what I've got right now. Because, I mean, you teach right off the top
Understood.
Of your head, but I have to get into it and study and apply it to me before I teach it to someone else. And so,
of course, you've been doing that pretty profoundly. I mean,
yeah.
You've been moving layers the last couple of months, just, you know, since we started doing the codependence intensive. You've been really moving stuff. And of course, so have I. It's been a mutual thing.
I think part of the reason maybe that I never completed the book, the last three chapters of the book are about my healing, and I think I've done more healing in the last few months than before, and so I think I needed this experience to be able to write those chapters.
Yeah, I hear you. I think you're right on track. Anyway, it's been quite awesome to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if you're out there in listener land, we'd like to have your voice with us, not just your ear. How can we support you? What's on your mind? Is this going to be another one of those quiet days? I mean, Dr. Tim couldn't get in. Are there problems with listeners getting into the switchboard?
No, he was in as host, but then he got disconnected and it wouldn't let him dial back in as host. So he had to dial in. It still showed him on there as host, but he had to dial back in just on the regular line.
As a listener,
to be able to continue talking.
Turn his mic on.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
Technology.
So what can we help you with?
Should we just sit quietly and meditate and see who calls or who doesn't? Or maybe we all just get quiet together. Calling number, 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you're listening to the show. If you push 1, we'll be having a conversation. How can we support you? What's on your mind?
I see some numbers on the switchboard that I haven't heard from in a while. I'm not going to put them on the spot, but it'd be nice if you would press 1 and at least just say hi and what's happening in your world. We haven't heard your voice in a while.
Yeah, tell us how the work is moving. And if you haven't been on for a while, what brings you back? What's on your mind? What can we support you with? If there's something you need support with, if you've got a question, you know, the whole idea of this show is to create the space where people can get their deepest questions answered in regard to this work. And well, my objective is to do the best that I can do with any question that anyone has to, what can I say, to support them, pardon me, in integrating these first century Aramaic tools into their lives in a way that is workable, in a way that really operates. So if you're out there in listener land and you push 1, we'll be having a conversation. I'd love to talk with you. You've got 35 minutes. And perhaps if there's no one that has anything.
Go ahead, Sue. We're talking on top of each other. Sorry. Since there are some numbers that I haven't seen in a while and they're back on, why don't you talk about the self-study intensive that's being offered right now?
Okay, I can do that. Jeannie has just, we haven't quite finished the package because after it was all completed and Jeannie had it all together, I added another video, or I'm going to add. We're going to set up and do an extra hour session. Right now there's 88 hours and 17 minutes or 39 minutes or 43 minutes, whatever it is, in the video package that we're offering for self-study. We've actually done two codependence to interdependence online intensives, 14 weeks each. Actually, the second intensive stretched out a couple of weeks, and we're going to add one more video so that we can top the number of hours on the videos up to around 90 hours, not around, but a round 90 hours, a complete 90-hour package. And this is on the topic of
for 50 videos.
Say again? 50 videos, 90.
It will make it an even 50 videos and an even 90 hours.
Cool. And the topic of the intensive is codependence to interdependence communication practicum. And in that workshop, we did a full round of teaching on why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Codependence to interdependence, mind shifters, and still point breathing. So that was the first 14 weeks. And 4 hours per week in two different sessions. We did a 3-hour Sunday afternoon and then 1 hour each evening for that 14 weeks. So that's all live video done on Zoom. And so all of the teaching is there and all of the interaction, all the question and answer sessions, 4 hours per week for 14 weeks. And then the second intensive, we did a self-study so that people had the videos from the previous session. And then each Wednesday evening for, I guess it turned out to be 17 weeks or so, Jean, we did a 2-hour live session with the folks in that intensive. So that second intensive is a refinement of the questions and answers from the first. People did a self-study with the round of videos from the first intensive, and then that 2-hour session each week was a personal interaction with everybody that was in the intensive. Questions and answers. So that those sessions are all available, and then there were a couple of bonus sessions that we put in. We actually introduced a new worksheet in the second intensive and did some refinement of it. And so there's an extra video that outlines a tool called Deep Dive into the Power Person, looking at the Power Person dynamics and cleaning that up. It's kind of like an inventory on your life and behaviors and, you know, really taking a look from another perspective. And that's what is that now, Jeannie? I think it's an 11-page worksheet, newly developed. And then we did an extra session, the communication practicum. It was just an awesome responsibility communication session that was done by Marta and Chuck. And it was so deep. You know, the worksheet from the communication, did you hear what I think I said, workshop is one that I haven't changed in 25 years since I started teaching that workshop. You know, minor little tweaks, but nothing has been changed on it. And this particular intensive, there's with that session that Magda and Chuck did, there was a huge opening in shifting, and the worksheet has changed significantly. It was a 1-page worksheet. It's now a 3-page worksheet, so that gives you an idea. You know, for 25 years, it's been a single page. it's up to three. And so we did the original session with Monty and Chuck, and then we did an extra video session with them, an extra two-hour session. And then, as I say, I'm going to add one more. It's going to be a closure lesson on the spiritual journey. That'll be a little over an hour video. So we'll have 90 hours of self-study. And if you're interested in doing that, purchase the whole package. And, of course, it will be permanent access to the whole package, all 90 hours of the video for $600. And that's also going to include Yerate Rubikin picked up and did a full menu setup, preparation, instruction, fabulous piece of work for anybody who's looking to improve their diet, shift into a higher vitality dietary regimen. We have a private Facebook page and an app that you'll get a private invitation to. So you can go to all of the recipes, you know, 3 meals a day, 14 weeks. Pretty awesome preparation. She did videos and audios. I mean, just did an amazing job of it. And so the app where those recipes reside and the Facebook page will be part of your intensive purchase if you choose to do it. And then, of course, there won't be a personal component to it as there was with the original two. But we're here 5 days a week on the radio show for support, so we can add that personal touch. There'll be, you know, we'll be encouraging people who do that self-study to come back and ask questions on the show so that everybody will get to share with that. So there'll be plenty of support. And then the next time we do a live codependence to interdependence communication practicum, you'll be invited to upgrade your purchase from the self-study package to the full participation package, and it will be similar. We'll actually have that 80 hours as the basis, and then we'll produce an extra approximately 14 weeks, be approximately 28 hours of additional video refinement that will come from the next live intensive. And so you'll just be able to pay the difference, you know, the live with the extra 2 hour per week for 14 weeks. Personal code evaluation, everything is $1,200, and the self-study is $600, includes the personal code evaluation. And then if you want to upgrade, then you just pay the additional $600, and you'll be participating in the next live intensive on that particular topic. And that will go on in perpetuity. You know, if any time in the future we're doing a codependence to interdependence with the fact that we're doing, you know, Zoom classes, and of course this will apply only to Zoom classes. It won't mean an intensive at Heartland or whatever. But anytime we're doing that workshop live on Zoom, you'll be invited as a guest. So that's an awesome gift that the internet gives us. So in any event, that's what's coming up, and we're looking at, if you're interested in Jeannie's Women Healing Women, you could communicate with her at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, Jeannie at whyagain.org. And or we're looking at perhaps in the fall doing a Laws of Living intensive, a live Zoom intensive, and or perhaps a teacher training, which will include the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. It'll be a 9-day segment and then a 9-day teacher training segment on that same topic. And that intensive includes Why Is This Happening to Me Again, Healing Through Relationships, Communication, Did You Hear What I Think I Said, Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment, Empower to Heal, Mind Shifters, Hands-on energy. Well, I don't know what we're going to do with it. Normally, the residential intensive includes hands-on energy field work. I have to look and see if we can create a video for that. It should be doable, shouldn't it, Jean?
And you said 9 days, but it'll actually be like a 16-week, correct?
Right. It'll be a 16. Yes, it's a normal 9-day. The Why Is This Happening to Me Again segment is a normal 9-day, and then the teacher training is normally a 9-day. So it'll be a 16-week online intensive. Yes. And we haven't really determine what the laws of living is going to look like yet in terms of timing. But if you're interested in either of those, drop Jeannie a note, and we'll get in touch with you and see if it's appropriate for you to participate. So that's what's coming up. Beyond that, how can we support you? What's on your mind? And if nobody has a question or a thought for us, then I have so much on my plate, I'm ready to let go of today's show. I'd much rather be answering questions and being in conversation. If you're out there in listener land and push one, we can have that conversation. But if no one has any questions, then I'm going to just say, everybody, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. And blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.